If you have read chapter 2 of the Book of Ruth, you will recognize a new character. His name is Boaz. And if I were giving a title to the second chapter of Luke's Gospel, it would be this: When a Lonely Girl Meets a Wealthy Bachelor. That sounds interesting, doesn't it? When a lonely girl meets a wealthy bachelor. And that pretty well summarizes the story of chapter 2. I take it for granted that you have already read the chapter, so that the facts are pretty well known to you. Now let's look at them in close-up. Let's read verses 1 through 3. And Naomi had a kinsman or a relative of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to a portion of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Now, just to pick up the background, here are these two travel-stained widows, having arrived back in Moab after an absence on the part of Naomi of 10 years. They had a bleak outlook, didn't they? There were no widow's pensions in those days. How were they going to survive? They had no man around the house to provide any income. And here we find Ruth offering to venture forth and glean in the fields of some Israelitish farmer in order that they might eke out an existence together. Now, the question arises immediately, what right did Ruth, the Moabitess, have to go out into fields that didn't belong to her? Well, I believe that Naomi, who was a Jewess, of course, and had a different background from Ruth, I believe that she had read a chapter from the Bible to Ruth. You say, well, the Bible wasn't written then. No, that's true. It wasn't all written, but the Law of Moses was written, certainly. And I believe that Naomi turned to the 24th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy and read to Ruth these words. Verse 18, when thou verse 19, when thou cuttest down thine harvest in the field, and hast forgotten a sheaf in the field, then thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the sojourner, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hands. Now, Naomi read that proviso to Ruth. It was simply a command on the part of Jehovah to his ancient people that when they gleaned their fields and had dropped the sheaf, they were to leave it there. It didn't belong to them anymore. The corners of their fields, they were not allowed to reap. Whatever grew in the corners were to be left for the poor and the fatherless and the widow. And I think that Mother Naomi read that passage or communicated that word to Ruth. And Ruth said, well, let me see now. I think I qualify. I'm a widow. I'm a stranger. And I'll go and take God at his word. And that's exactly what she did. She ventured forth on the strength of the word of the living God. She took her place as a widow, as needy, as desolate, and she said, I'm going out, and I'm going to see what I can salvage in the fields and bring home. That is faith acting on the word of God. And when she went forth, it says she happened to come upon the field of a wealthy landowner in the area whose name was Boaz. And that brings us to this wealthy bachelor. Notice that he was a mighty man of wealth, verse 1. I believe that Boaz is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, don't you? Who is wealthier than he is? Oh, he wasn't wealthy when he was here as a man in this world. On one occasion he had to say, in order to illustrate a story he told, "Show me a penny." He didn't have a penny in his own pocket to pull out with which to illustrate his parable. He was the poorest of men. He who was rich became poor for our sakes. And then he went to the cross and he became poorer than ever, came under the judgment of God, desolate and alone. But he became poor that we, through his poverty, might be rich. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. And now the Lord Jesus Christ is the exalted Boaz, a mighty man of wealth. Not only that, but the word Boaz means strength or strong one. Another indication of Christ, the true Boaz. He said, "In resurrection all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." He is the mighty man of strength. And then, not only that, but Boaz represents Christ, I think, in his lordship. What do you mean by that? Well, apparently, according to the story, Boaz had been away in Bethlehem, perhaps on a business appointment. And on the way back, as Boaz came back, he saw his reapers in the field, all his harvesters bringing in the harvest. And according to verse 4 of our chapter, he said, "The Lord be with you." And the men, the harvesters, his employees shouted back, "The Lord bless thee." I think that's beautiful. When Boaz said, "The Lord bless you, gentlemen," they didn't say, "Well, how about a raise, boss?" Not at all. They said, "The Lord bless you." So there were excellent relationships between management and labor. And in the New Testament, there's a verse in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 1 that speaks of Christian employers. "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven." You're not superior. While you are a master, you have a master. And you treat your employees in the fear of the Lord. That's exactly what Boaz did. And then there's another aspect of his typical relationship to the Lord Jesus. He was not only a man of wealth, not only a man of strength, not only a man who was a true master, but he was also a kinsman redeemer, and he showed grace. And he carried out this word of the Lord, and Ruth ventured out on faith. Hers was not a passive faith, but an active faith. When her mother-in-law told her that this provision had been made, she said, "Well, I believe it." Well, how do we know that Ruth believed the message? Well, she went out and appropriated it. You see, my friends, that's what salvation is. Salvation is a faith that appropriates what God provides. God has provided salvation in Christ and his cross, and I go out as a needy person, like a widow. I know I'm a sinner and lost and hungry and undeserving, and I appropriate what love has provided. And there it was that she met this man. And Boaz saw her reaping in the field. He made some inquiries. He checked up on her. "Who is this girl?" And the foreman told her in verse 7, "Why, she's the Moabitess widow that's come back into our area and made our God her God. And she's been out here in the field ever since daylight, picking up the gleanings in the field." And then it was that Boaz went over and he said to Ruth very gently, "Ruth, don't go to any other field. You just stay here in my field." Verse 8. And he set her fears at rest. And he gave her an invitation, a carte blanche invitation to help herself. And the result was she fell at his feet. Verse 10. And she cried out, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldst take knowledge of me, seeing I am a foreigner? I don't deserve this. You see, it was the grace of Boaz that made Ruth a worshiper. It's the grace of Christ that makes us worship him and say, Lord, I can't understand such grace as this. Grace is undeserved favor, and by grace he is saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then it was that Boaz, setting all her fears at rest, giving her this invitation to stay in his fields, he also followed up by inviting her into the house at dinner time. At meal time, he said in verse 14, come in here. And it says that she accepted the invitation. Instead of sitting under a tree or in a corner of the field munching a few hard crusts or something, she got in on the boss's commissary, as it were, the dining hall, and she sat beside him. I know that because it says he reached her parched grain in verse 14, and she ate and was satisfied, and she left. She had so much food from the hand of Boaz, she couldn't handle it all, and so she had a doggy bag, and she took part of the surplus of the food, as it were, and took it back to Naomi at the end of the day. Oh, my friends, Boaz is such a beautiful type of the Lord. After the meal was over, you'll notice in verse 16, I think if I read the story or read into the story, I see something like this. The meal is over and Ruth has gone out to the field to resume her gleanings, and Boaz gathered his men around him, and he said, men, this afternoon, you've got this lonely, destitute widow out there in the fields picking up what she can get by way of salvage, as it were. Listen, this afternoon you just toss off a sheaf here and there. Don't tell her I said this, but just drop a handful on purpose for her, verse 16, and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. Isn't that something? And that afternoon, Ruth picked up not a little bit of gleanings here and there, but she picked up sheaves. And she said, my, these harvesters have been very careless today, dropping sheaves around the place. She picked them up. They belong to her, because God had said in his word in Deuteronomy 24 that if a sheaf was overlooked or dropped off or whatever, they were not to pick it up again. It belonged to the poor, the widow, the stranger, and the fatherless. And Ruth said, well, that's where I come in. That's what I am. I'm a stranger. I'm a foreigner. And she found these handfuls on purpose dropped off for her. Of course, she didn't know that Boaz had given such instructions to his men. You see, Boaz, it seems to me that Ruth was not only getting into his home, into his fields, and into his home, but she was getting into his heart, don't you think? And Boaz said, you just drop some handfuls on purpose for her. And you know, friends, sometimes when we're hungry and we're reading the Word of God, we get a little word, perhaps from the daily devotion book or from our daily quiet time, and we say, that's the word for me today. That's just the word I've been waiting for. Well, the heavenly Boaz dropped it off, as it were, for you and me. And it's a word in season. As it says, a word in season, how good it is. And at the end of the day, Ruth came back to her mother-in-law, Naomi, and she had her arms full of sheaves. And Naomi said to her in verse 19, where hast thou gleaned today, and where wroughtest thou? Blessed is he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and she said, the man's name was Boaz. And Naomi, verse 20, said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not withheld his kindness from the living and from the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us. He's a near relative, one of our near kinsmen. And Ruth would have perhaps said under her breath, so what? So what? Oh, I tell you, my friends, there was a tremendous significance attached to that fact, known to Naomi, but not known to Ruth. Ruth thought it was accidental. But you know, my friends, the Lord was over the whole thing and putting all these things together and making all things work together for the good and the blessing of these two widows. And the pieces are coming together when Naomi learns that it was in Boaz's field that Ruth had been reaping. And she said to Ruth, look, he's related to us. And that carries with it an obligation of tremendous significance. And they burst out in praise and thanksgiving to God. And the chapter ends with these words. So she kept close by the handmaidens of Boaz to glean until the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest. And she lived with her mother-in-law. Ruth was not a man chaser. Ruth was not one, my friends, who got ideas and wedding bells began to ring in her head, as it were. She just said, the Lord is over all this. I'm going to continue to live with my mother-in-law. I'm going to take the man's word. I'm going out in the morning again to glean more grain so that we'll have food on the table. And she stayed with the maidens of Boaz, not with the men, but with the women. She was chaste, and she was devoted, and God-fearing, and God blessed her. Oh, the story is getting richer. It's getting more exciting. And we find, friends, a new affection glowing and response on the part of Boaz toward Ruth, and Ruth toward Boaz. And the Lord is over all as the great provider, the great supervisor, and the sovereign Lord who's bringing blessing out of it all. Well, we'll see more about this when we come to chapter 3. Reread the chapter, and you'll be glad.